Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
You punched him in the face?
Yes. I've never seen anything like this before. Never.
And you had no inkling that it was even possible?
No, I never conceived of that. I mean, I've been in Scientology since I was 14 years old. I was on staff since I was 17. At that point, it had been more than 25 years being there. I've never seen anything like that. It was inconceivable.
That's an excerpt from a recent ABC News Nightline story about Deborah Cook, a Scientology executive. She's a former executive with Scientology, but she still regards herself as a Scientologist, talking about an incident with the ecclesiastical leader of the Church of Scientology, David Mikhaevich. Scientology is in the news a lot. It's in court a lot. And when someone leaves, it sounds like they don't want people talking. They're trying to hurry the case involving Deborah Cook through the courts, getting a summary judgment from the court so that they don't have to respond to subpoenas and requests for evidence. So what's going on inside of Scientology? Are these allegations true? Karen Presley joins us. She's a former Scientologist. She was a commanding officer in Scientology's Celebrity Center International Network and later worked at the Church of Scientology's International Management Headquarters. She's author of the books Escaping Scientology and Chasing After the Wind, founder of Wings of Love Ministry based in Atlanta. Karen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. It's great to be back with you.
The allegations coming from Deborah Cook and from others are of some physical abuse, mental abuse definitely, and general mistreatment of the members of Scientology on the part of its leadership. Do you believe these allegations, given your experience?
Well, I do believe the allegations. I witnessed many of those things myself.
What's going on here? Why does this occur in Scientology, even at the highest levels of its leadership?
Well, in actual fact, to my knowledge, that's the only place where I've seen physical abuse occur. I don't believe that it occurs at the lower levels. My knowledge is very similar to Debbie Cook's and very similar to Marty Rathbun, who also posts on this a lot, is that it's Miscavige himself who leads the church that has actually created a culture of abusive language and physical abuse within the international management staff at the headquarters out in the desert. It's, you know, it's away from public scrutiny. Nobody sees the staff there. There are no public around to observe any such behavior. It's just the senior staff of the Scientology leadership that are there, and that's where I worked for 9 years. So when Debbie Cook talks about this, I believe her because I saw it myself.
Deborah Cook talked about being sent to what they called the hole, along with several other leaders of or part of the Scientology's leadership. What is the hole?
Well, the hole was established after I left. I left in 1998, but a couple of years later, Miscavige established the hole in a double-wide trailer that was located on the north side of the international base property. And this is where he sent specific executives and staff members who he removed from post for reasons that allegedly that they were, screwing up on their jobs or, in his eyes, just basically bad people or suppressive or destructive people. And he would subject them to discipline and, I think, rather torturous behavior, keeping them sleeping under their desks and on the floors and, you know, really in substandard conditions. And I happen to know about the hole because my ex-husband, Peter Schless, was sent to the hole. And an insider who escaped from the INT base while Peter, my ex-husband, was in the hole, contacted me to let me know that he was there and what he was subject to. And I was so concerned, even though, you know, my ex-husband and I had been apart for several years, I was so concerned about him that I actually contacted his family, and I reported it to his sister and brothers and kind of put it in their hands. And we actually requested a Riverside County sheriff to go out there to see if Peter was okay. But I've heard a lot about the hole from people who have left, and it's a very degraded set of living conditions that were created by David Miscavige, the leader of the church.
What kind of abuse did you witness while in Scientology?
You know, there was so many different forms of it. A lot of psychological abuse, personal humiliation. I saw a senior executive made to sleep out in the grass in a tent and go to the bathroom on the grass. I've seen senior executives put down on their knees and made to scrub toilets with toothbrushes in front of Miscavige to appease him because he was unhappy with their behavior. I've seen Miscavige punch and push and slap other people, specifically men. I never saw him do that to women. And he never hit me. I worked under him for 9 years, and he never physically harmed me, but I have seen him do this to others.
Were you afraid of him?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because he's, I considered him a rash, sociopathic type personality. And he could be acting sane and looking you in the eye and speaking with you in 1 minute. And the next minute, if you say something that, you know, made him unhappy, you were subject to whatever he felt led to subject you to. And so he had so much power, and there was nobody at the Church of Scientology that could speak up to him or censor his behavior or his actions at all. It was kind of like, you know, back referring to the 1940s days of Adolf Hitler, it's like, who would speak up to Adolf Hitler? No one. It's that kind of fear.
So how do you think it is that David Miscavige is able to get away with this?
I think that his minions, his personal staff, the people that support him, are so under his control psychologically that, number one, I think they've totally lost perspective on, you know, any sense of reality, you know, in terms of like what he's doing, whether it's okay or not. They just think it's acceptable because of the mission of Scientology. And so I think that all of his supporters will go, you know, go to the nth degree to support him because they know that if they defied him or withdrew their support from him, they would reap his wrath. And no one can actually face that except the people who actually had the courage to escape and had their own sense about them that they figured out a way to get out. I just think that if you have any desire to stay in Scientology, you will just keep on doing what you've been doing, even though it's completely wrong. And what I mean by that is by supporting Miscavige's actions.
Why is it so difficult for people to, as you say, escape or to leave Scientology?
Because when you're a Scientologist, you believe that Scientology is the only way, in other words, that they hold the keys to your eternity. It would be comparable to a Christian who believes that the only way to God is through Jesus Christ, and once you're saved and you're going to go to heaven, and that's God's promise. It's you know, Christians hold that to be a truth. Well, Scientologists hold it to be a truth that, you know, the only way to eternity is through Scientology, and so people don't want to lose that. They don't want to lose that promise or that destiny, so to speak. They believe that Scientology is the only solution, so they don't want to put that at risk.
Do you think during L. Ron Hubbard's time leading Scientology and founding it, he was known to be a very charismatic, personally magnetic person? Do you think he has been, in essence, replaced as the center of gravity of Scientology by David Miscavige?
Absolutely. There's so many signs of that. You know, Miscavige has actually replaced himself. He's replaced L. Ron Hubbard with himself by calling himself the leader of Scientology. He holds, you can see in any recent events, the pictures are focusing on Miscavige. The speeches focus on Miscavige, not L. Ron Hubbard. Miscavige has written a lot of things that, you know, a list too long to mention of things that are done his way versus L. Ron Hubbard's way. And that's one of the things that Debbie Cook has exposed to Scientologists. It's like, take a look at the fact that Miscavige now has you following his policy instead of L. Ron Hubbard's policy. So it's almost like Hubbard has been put off to the side, and, you know, Miscavige's rule and Miscavige's policies are what Scientologists are expected to follow.
With about a minute here, Karen, why do you think Debbie Cook and others like her may leave the organization but remain committed to Scientology? About a minute.
You know, I think that Debbie believes in Scientology, and she would probably still be within the Church of Scientology if it wasn't for Miscavige. So her faith has never been shaken in what she believes. Her faith was shaken in the leadership. And it's kind of like, you know, she's totally committed. She was an excellent Scientologist and an excellent leader. She was very regarded in Scientology. But she, like Marty Raspin, there's a lot of people who were high in church leadership who always believed in Scientology but just no longer believed in the leadership. And they're trying to recover the church as founded by L. Ron Hubbard, not as founded by David Miscavige.
Do they have reason to fear David Miscavige, even if they're outside of Scientology? About 20 seconds.
David Miscavige will go to no end to make people quiet and put their lives at risk. I've seen this happen dozens of times. He doesn't care. He's just out for his own personal causes.
Karen Pressley is a former Scientologist. She was a commanding officer in Scientology Celebrity Center International Network and later worked at the Church of Scientology's International Management Headquarters, author of the book Escaping Scientology and Chasing After the Wind. She's founder of Wings of Love Ministry based in Atlanta. Karen, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're so welcome.
When we come back, we're going to be remembering, along with the rest of the church, two women who are also martyrs, a noblewoman and her slave, Perpetua and Felicitas, who converted to Christianity against the emperor's edict and paid the price with their lives. Pastor Heath Curtis will be our guest right after this.
The sharpest arrow in your apologetics quiver. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.